Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome to The Sportive. My name is John Marthaler. I am in charge of things tonight because Brandon's not here. But to replace Brandon, we've got not only me, but Stu. Stu's here.
Hey, John. How's it going?
And as well as Stu, we have the one, the only, Chicken Fingers. Chicken Fingers. Are you of Twitter fame, of X fame, of Facebook fame? He's on Threads. He's on Blue Sky. Yeah. He's on Mastodon.
Yeah, internet porno weirdos have my fucking information. I'm not on the space bush. You a crazy person?
Anyway, Chicken's here as well. It's good to see him. It's good to see Stu. We're going to talk about the Minnesota sports that we've missed over the last 3 weeks. Every time I look at when the last time we recorded a podcast, I get embarrassed, so we're not going to look at that. But I want to start with the Minnesota Vikings. And what is happening? What is going on? Why is this team? This has been the strangest year and a half of my Vikings fan life, other than 1998, which is his own thing. Have you ever actually enjoyed watching the Vikings before in your whole entire life?
You were saying you used the word strange, the strangest, and then you went to enjoy.
Yeah.
Strange. I like the, like, 09 was strange in this same sense. It wasn't, I mean, the whole Favre thing and him being good after being bad, that was weird. I mean, it wasn't like, oh my God, this is remarkable that he's doing this, because he had been good before. That Josh Dobbs is being good, that's obviously different than Favre being good, but that was strange. So in that sense, that year was unexpectedly good.
The thing was, I was so anti-Favre that I didn't enjoy any of that.
Yeah,
I
mean,
I enjoyed it a little bit, but
history is correct for the record. Being anti-Favre turned out to be very correct.
Yeah. It was not exactly like winning the lottery in terms of being right on that one. That was a layup.
Yeah.
But that catch by in 09 against San Francisco, I don't remember the receiver in the back of the end
zone. Greg Lewis.
Yep. Was
the only pass he ever caught as a Viking.
Well, and that was not so dissimilar as to Josh Dobbs breaking that 16-yard fourth down, where you're just like, "What? Wait, what?" I didn't enjoy it because I didn't like Favre, and I don't know. But this is fun, I guess, in a way.
I will say the last year and a half, with the notable exception of the playoff game, has been fun. I don't know what else to call it. Before he got hurt, Kirk Cousins was playing the best football of his entire life.
Yeah,
that San Francisco game was amazing. And Chicken has talked about this before, that the best you're going to get out of Kirk Cousins is giving him a good offensive line. He's not going to be able to create on the move like Rodgers or someone of that ilk does. He needs protection and go through his reads and throw an incredibly accurate ball. And
they found out, and unfortunately Rick never realized this. It took the next guy to figure it out. You need to surround him with a good offensive line and spend the capital to get there.
Yep.
Rick was just never, he tried. He, what was that goofball that went to Carolina? Matt Khalil. Yeah. So he tried. He spent that one first round draft pick and then decided, well, that didn't work. So I'm never doing that again. Well,
okay. I mean, Matt Khalil was the Christian Ponder of the offensive line for sure.
Well, no, I mean, actually, college people liked Khalil. Khalil not panning out was a shock, I think.
Oh, really?
Whereas Ponder is like, no chance.
Yeah, to me, Matt Khalil is up there with Todd Stussy in the pantheon of Vikings offensive linemen that have just
I'll start. That's all I ever think about for the rest of my life. I'll watch a little kid's football game. Full start. Stussy! I'll yell it out. 4 year old.
And all of the 40 and above year olds are just laughing.
Yes, they all laugh. Stussy. It's a laugh every time. Yep.
Stussy. Every single time.
Yep.
I did. So I discovered one day, this was a while ago, but I discovered that you could actually look up the number of offensive line penalties on like Pro Football Reference. And so I started clicking on, various 1999 years, Stussy years. And I thought for sure that I would look, and it turns out that Stussy committed 3 penalties in his career or something. Nope, he led the league 1 year. Yep. He was second a couple of other times.
It wasn't over-exaggeration.
This isn't just
right on the money.
We're not just like talking about it like because we're old men who like don't remember shit. He was actually bad.
Normally I am, but
it's a fair supposition to make about us. But no, he sucked. He was always false starting. Always.
It's not a legend like Disco Dan Ford's language in the bleachers at Met Stadium and Stu's story about that. That's legendary, but this one actually has facts to back it up.
This year, I mean, Dobbs. I mean, what the fuck, man?
Yeah, this is like, if not just because they have the same first name, but if Josh Freeman had come in and completed 48 passes for 453 yards.
Well, just look at the state of quarterback play on the rest of the league. Like look at the Giants, the team that beat the Vikings in the playoffs. Daniel Jones is nothing special, but he's clearly better than they have. Billy Joel's old drummer is the quarterback to Liberty DeVito, whatever. He's literally lives with his parents, which is a great story, but he can't play quarterback. I mean, it's astonishing that they were able to get him from Arizona for like, they swapped a 6th round pick for a 7th round pick. Who gives a shit?
There's so many teams in the league that are playing like Taylor Heinicke, but also not interested in trying to do anything to improve that.
No.
We're going to stick with Tyson Bagent.
Well,
that DeVito character is the worst thing that ever happened to my aunt and uncle. They've been trying to get my cousin Jeff out of the fucking basement for years, and now he's inspired them. He's inspired he's an inspiration to fucking cousin Jeff. Look at this guy. This guy's in the NFL. He's tearing it up, mom and dad.
I got my gig at Tires Plus. I mean, that's it's part time, but it could lead to something. You don't know. I'm on management track on weekends.
That's when the big bucks.
They let me close the store the other day. Well, if our good friend Jeff Fingers is listening, it's time to move on, Jeff. You're 42 years old.
Fucking old Bob DeVito. What's the guy's name? Vinny DeVito.
Tommy. What is his name?
Tommy.
Vinny Terry.
Of course, he's from Jersey. He's Tommy DeVito. Oh, God. And that's honestly, the turnaround that, you can see the first year of Kwesi's reign as GM. Lewis Cine was another healthy scratch again last week. I think it's fair to say that pick did not pan out.
What is happening? Like, given the number of players that every NFL team goes through, what is Lewis Cine doing that he's getting healthy scratched by this team? Like, he's not even playing on special teams. He's not even a punt gunner.
He's the Kellen Mond of the, it's the unspoken Kellen Mond. Kellen Mond got called out by Zimmer, which I still think is one of the funniest damn things. How come he didn't go to Kellen Mond? Because I see him every goddamn day of practice. That was the meanest thing I think I've ever heard. A coach.
So ultimately so unnecessary.
Oh my God, that was mean.
And he wasn't even mad at Mond. He wasn't mad at Mond. He was mad at Rick.
Oh God, that's so freaking mean. This is so funny, but because I watch him every day in practice, like, whoa, and you just all the reporters were like,
well,
speechless. I don't think you've ever seen a room of reporters speechless. That was remarkable. But that's what's going on with Scene. Like, but KOC is too nice of a guy to say it. Like, I see him every day in practice. I'm not
I'm not
playing him.
But I'm like year two now. He's like, he obviously nailed that trade. He nailed Addison. I mean, it's, he got an undrafted rookie to play middle linebacker, and that seems to be going fine.
Yeah. So, somehow everybody on the team is hurt.
Yeah. I mean, he's definitely
still fine.
Well, but can we talk about, well, I obviously,
I know that you were more skeptical about him than I was, Chicken. So,
about Kracy?
Yeah.
Oh, there's no doubt. I still am. But yeah, just what I'm going to say is, I do like one angle that he takes. It seems to me more than other NFL GMs, maybe I'm wrong, is that he tries to find some kind of hidden gems at the trade deadline. For whatever reason, the NFL is so, NFL GMs are so timid at the trade deadline relative to other sports when the payment rate is so much less than other sports. It's just this kind of dichotomy. Doesn't make a lot of sense in my head. When you can get somebody that has relative talent for a seventh rounder, why aren't there more NFL trades? When in baseball, you have to trade like three high-end prospects to get somebody that's above average.
Or like, or even hockey, even the NHL, whose GMs are famously risk averse and famously unwilling to do anything. Every trade deadline, there's 153 trades in the last 10 minutes before
for
the
second
trade
round pick for a first round pick. And like, what,
you flip a third rounder for a guy who's playing in the AHL just because.
But the NFL, you'll get some guy who was a first round pick like 2 years ago, and you'll get him for a seventh rounder. And I like that Kwesi has tried it. Now, some of them haven't worked out. What, like, who was the receiver last year? Rager or something like that?
Jalen Rager.
Yeah.
He's done a few of those trades that just didn't work out. But, okay, who gives a shit if Jalen Rager doesn't pan out for a seventh rounder? Like, did you miss the seventh round pick this year? Nobody cared.
Only Rick Spielman.
Jalen Rager's, honestly, his career highlight is going to go down, with the Vikings at least. His career highlight is definitely the day Mike Rand was asking people about the butt punt. And he was going around asking people in the Vikings locker room about special team miscues and trying to get him to say something funny. And all Rager would say was, that ain't got nothing to do with me. Just trying to get, you know, a little color. We're being funny. Nope. Somebody got hit right in the middle of the two butt cheeks with a punt. So we're going to laugh about it a little bit. Jalen Rager, not on board.
Not interesting.
But yeah, I'm not going to say that I know every NFL trade deadline move over the last 2 years, but the Vikings trading for Hockenson last year was already like the biggest move of the past 3 years of the trade deadline. Again, I'm not an expert, so don't send me emails about how somebody trading a fifth round pick for a second round pick was a much bigger trade or something like that. But
well, what it was, the pick ended up being like, they swapped second round picks or something like that is what it ended up.
For Hockenson? Yeah.
For Hockenson, who is like, I mean, you can have your qualms about the guy, but I don't think you can argue. He is a top.
I'd say this, he's definitely this 10. Year, he's been invaluable this year. He's been so good. I mean,
well, he dropped 400
the
passes.
Backdrop against San Diego, and that's been it. Other than that, he's been fantastic.
Yeah. So
okay. he had like 15 bad drops in the first five games, but
well, I'm aware, Dave Marthaler. I'm very aware, Dave.
The big picture, Dave, he's been an asset to the team, and they got him for relatively little. So I do like that Kwesi has found is at least willing to utilize what seems like a
it's a kind of a money ball thing. That's like relative
value.
Ball
is exactly what I was thinking. Yeah.
So, I mean, but that still doesn't forgive Lewis Cine. I know that.
Well, his drafts have been, and Ivan Pace doesn't count towards the draft. If he really, if he really loved Ivan Pace, he could have spent the seventh rounder on him. Obviously, he didn't love him as much as he's turned out. Otherwise, he would have drafted him, not hoped he could sign him.
I mean, Blackman's playing well in the secondary. Bynum's been fantastic. I mean, Metellus is like the safety that we thought that I guess Seen was supposed to be or something.
Or we could praise my bro. We can praise my bro. We could.
I mean, after that Philadelphia game, I wanted to send him to live on an island somewhere with Mike Briefer. But Jesus, that defense has improved by leaps and bounds.
It shouldn't be this good.
We're often pre-furious on this podcast, but I'm pre-wistful for the Brian Flores era. We had one time.
Because we saw how the season ended last year. We saw it was just awful. I mean, they had Harrison Ford, good guy. They might have Harrison Ford back there too. But
the two are the same age.
Harrison Ford, nowhere near the line of scrimmage where he should have been. And obviously Flores fixed that immediately. And he figured out how to make this system work and with the talent that he had. And it's been paying off dividends for him.
I don't know why I have to be this way, guys, but why in my brain, I should be happy that they got Flores, but all I fixate on is what was going through their minds when they hired Ed Donatell.
It's true.
What were they thinking? We all knew. What was the thought process, and why I can't get over that and just be happy that he's gone and they moved on to somebody much better. I keep fixating on how could it be such a wide spectrum of decisions on the same exact people decided that Brian Flores was good. Great decision. Those same exact people thought that Ed Donatell would be good. How could they be so wrong and so right?
What happened here?
1 year apart, using the same decision-making process by the same people.
The Philadelphia Eagles are considered a great organization, and they drafted Jalen Reagor ahead of Rick Spielman, who drafted Justin Jefferson. Shit happens. Sometimes
the psychology behind it. Yeah. What is it though? What is it though?
Shit just happens. No one in charge knows what they're doing. That's the key thing to always remember about everything.
That's true. No, that's a good point.
And everyone's faking it as best they can. And some of them, I think maybe you could credit that Kwesi and O'Connell grew into the job in year two. May felt a little more confident about what they were doing and okay, I know this is right. We're going to do it this way. I'm not going to listen to, my buddy Donatell, he can come in and fix up. He'll just look at the linebackers playing right and shit. No, I'm just going to, Flores is available. He's going to be great. And that's what happened. So I don't know. Just shit happens sometimes, man.
It's definitely the answer. It's the correct answer. It's not the answer.
But it drives you nuts.
I want someone to blame. I want someone's head. I want a name. I want someone held accountable. No. I'll never get it. I still want the Ponder pick. I want to know. I want the fucking 30 by 30. I want
10,000 word oral history.
I want the whole history of that. Yeah.
The TikTok.
I'll never.
Not like a TikTok video, but the minute by minute, the hour by hour.
10 episodes of it. I'd watch 10 2-hour long episodes.
We need to do a 10-part podcast on the Christian Ponder pick.
I want it.
The Last Dance with Michael Jordan or the new Beckham documentary, except it's just us talking about 3 episodes on Rick Spielman putting his shoes on before his pants and 7 7 episodes on the Ponder pick.
I want to know the justification. It's not 1932 where you just have to trust some scout getting off a train who says, "Yeah, I saw this kid down in Florida State.
Down in Joliet, Illinois.
These games are on TV. Rick can watch them just as much as you and I can. The internet existed. He could have downloaded videos of this guy. How was he so wrong?
This man dominated the Massillon-Kenton game, and that's the biggest game in Ohio.
He scored 8 touchdowns against the Beloit racial slurs. I don't know why I said it like that.
There's so few opportunities in life
to say the bull white
Union.
Break out the old timey newsreel.
Can
voice.
See? I'm a scout. See,
I didn't know they called Italians that. What in the world?
Anyway, the Vikings. It's been a thing, and yeah, they can still go 6-11. It doesn't seem impossible to me, but they really
so soft, man.
Having a quarterback who can run is like it's like a cheat in a video game. It's like getting 30 lives in Contra.
Yes,
and it's amazing to me.
I'm the old guy here. I vaguely remember one Fran Tarkenton game.
Do you remember?
That was like when he was 38. So he still did that shit at his age.
Is that that's got to be your earliest Vikings memory? Because they're
I do remember the last Super Bowl because we had people over and I was 77, January 6, 1977. It was a Super Bowl during the day. The sun was out during the entire Super Bowl.
That's really weird.
It's so weird. That's how old I am. The Super Bowl was on during the day.
And you remember
and it was in Tulsa, or something like that.
Yeah. Howie had people over for the game, man. That's how I remember it. It's just and we had a ton of and of course it was just a horrible fucking game. But
yeah.
I remember like games after that more clearly, but that one I just vaguely remember being
that's gotta be alive earliest around for it. Vikings memory. You can't remember something before that. Maybe you do.
No, I can't. I don't remember like the Hail Mary game. I don't remember now that I think about it, if it's the right game, and we can fact check Wade get on this, I remember the NFC Championship game before that was against the Rams at Met Stadium. It was super cold, and I think Bobby Bryant blocked a kick and ran it back. I vaguely remember. I think that was the game that sent them to get their ass kicked by Oakland. I remember that game, and I think it was like, again, Howie had people over. And I was like, oh, we'll have people over for the Super Bowl because this happens all the time. And there was no like bye week either. It was like, oh, we'll have people over next week. It'll be fun. So
it is funny that those great Vikings teams, everybody sort of remembers them as like, this is the golden era and they were going to the Super Bowl and everybody loved these teams. And you look back at the box scores and every one of those games is like,
they got fucking killed in every one of them.
6-2. They've got 111 yards of offense. Fred Cox kicked one field goal and missed two others from 18 and 4 yards somehow.
It was basically Gardy's Twins teams where they like just beat the shit out of the AL Central and then they'd go into the playoffs and just get wrecked by whoever was in the East that year. That was basically the Vikings of the 70s, man. The AFC had all the good teams.
They didn't have a wide receiver for four consecutive years and it was just Fran Tarkenton running around and handing the ball to Hugh McElhenney or something.
You apologize to Sammy White right now. Poor Sammy White.
Handing the ball off to Chuck Foreman and that's it.
Oh, and the 3 yard dump off to Chuck Foreman and Ricky Young. Those were the two things they had. That's just me talking about old Vikings. Sorry about that.
Just remembering some Vikings. What is your oldest Vikings memory, Chicken?
Gotta be a Tommy Kramer one, if I had to guess. Mid 80s.
Yeah, I think the Steve Young run.
Oh, right. God.
That's horrible.
Mm-hmm. From an actual game. We would get, my dad would take me to a preseason game every year. So that's but I don't remember the games because the games obviously were garbage. I remember going to those when I was young. But from an actual game of earliest memory, I can't think of anything before like that Steve Young run. I don't know. It was like a 70, 80 some yard run. You still see it. The high
man. Same here.
That's probably the one. Remember my dad screaming at the TV about that.
Probably the some say Joey Browner is still chasing him even now.
So you can still hear. Strongest hands in the NFL. Yep.
Poor Gerald Wilhite. Broke his leg in half. And speaking of the Broncos, that's who we've got this week, John.
Yes.
Sunday night.
The Sean Payton-led Broncos, man.
Oh, fuck that. I really want
how
to win
can
this
you
game.
Hate this team any
does your wife like him? Your wife's a Broncos fan. Does she
yeah,
like...
this is going to be the cause of some
she does like him?
Silences. Yeah, she was very pleased with last night's game. Her and our friend of the show, Dana, were texting about it today in the aftermath. They were not talking to each other yesterday.
Well, I can't imagine. Was she mean to him?
Oh, I think she was. Yeah, I mean, good. She agreed that no one deserved to win that fucking thing. It was just a comedy of errors last night. But yeah, she is a Broncos fan. She will be rooting for the Broncos on Sunday night.
She seen the Sean Payton movie?
Yes, or at least she's seen clips of it. And I just come on.
There's a Sean Payton movie.
Yes,
I would. I think a very entertaining episode would just be Stu hate watching that movie and doing like MS.
Oh man, and you know, I like Kevin
Mystery James. Science Theater commentary
stuff that Kevin James is in, and he's just
watching just you and your silhouette in front of the screen watching that
hate watching
that movie. Commenting that
movie.
Entertaining to me at least.
Oh. Yeah, so. I got to watch that game with my wife on Sunday.
Oh no! She watches football.
She gets a little antsy in the pants. That whole second half when New Orleans was trying to come back and they just couldn't do it, I was just like, damn it, shit, fuck. So I was going to write a single spaced email to the league about all the bad calls that the Vikings were getting. And
that Danielle Hunter call.
Don't even give me. They won by 8. And the minute Jameis Winston came in, you knew he was going to throw 2 touchdowns and 3 interceptions. So I shouldn't have worried as much as I did. But there were some spots, like third and ones that should have been first and 10. It's just, whatever. I just, you know what? No, I'm letting go, letting God. So that's, you know, it's done. It's under the bridge. But I really hope they hang 40 on Sean Payton on Sunday night. I want them buried.
And on a personal level, I hope that people who are running out of bounds run into Payton 3 or 4 times. To the point that it's like comedy for everyone in the stands. Like, you got run over again. That's pretty funny.
Cleats up. I want Harrison Phillips to fucking pancake him. I just I hate that guy. Just that smug butthole eye look of his. I just don't like him. So, but what are you going to do? Yeah. Anyway, my wife will root for you.
What are you going to do? The correct answer is get in a fight with your wife.
it's the holidays, you know?
Why not?
But yeah, we got that. And then we got the Vikings. And they play the Bears on Monday night. And then they got a bye week. I mean, they're probably going to, even if they lose at Denver, which is, I mean, they should have lost one of these games at some point here, but they might not. They might be 8-4 going into the bye, man.
The only thing that would be better is if Mark Schierlif could somehow announce all the Vikings games from now.
Oh, God. Just.
I really don't think we can say enough that at one point, he's a professional broadcaster, and at one point he called the Vikings starting running back. He got his names in the wrong order. He called him Madison Alexander instead of Alexander Madison.
It's calling a 28-year-old the young kid.
I will admit that I went to look up whether Dobbs or Jaren Hall is older. And as it turns out, Dobbs is older. Not by a lot.
A
couple of years, but
yeah.
I thought for sure it was going to be one of those things. But
they could both play for Waro and play hockey.
They could both play goal for the Gophers, no trouble.
John, no, we don't. That's our team. We don't make
Sorry. I got confused. Our team.
We make fun of other
teams. I think it's hilarious that Justin Close is like 26 years old at this point.
He's on our team. We don't mention that.
He's older than Tanner Morgan. That's
old. No one's older than Tanner Morgan.
Oh, man. You know, as all of. There have been a lot of news about the Vikings, a lot of personnel moves. There have been a lot of the trades, the Dobbs trade, everything else, people getting hurt. All of this stuff is sort of passed unmentioned in my, you know, the group chat with my friends. The one thing that never passes without just an explosion of anger is whenever Tanner Morgan gets signed to the Vikings practice squad. It's happened a couple times this year, and both times it's just like, oh my gosh, I can't believe this is happening. String of like 25 texts that day.
It's so. Any other team, in the country, nobody would know who he, the fan base wouldn't know who he is. They wouldn't care. Practice squad. He's got to be like telling his agent, God, no, I'm not. Don't sign me there.
Don't the Jaguars need somebody?
Yeah. Anyway. Can we fix the Wild? Now that we've talked about the Vikings, I want to talk about the Minnesota Wild.
What the fuck is wrong with the Minnesota Wild?
I went to the game on Sunday, and that was 8-3 game.
That was 8-3. That was the worst score of the game, John. 8-3.
It was the worst hockey game I've ever seen in my life, compounded by the fact they were playing Dallas. The worst. I'd never been to a Minnesota-Dallas game, and I wanted to go to one, and I wanted Minnesota to stomp Dallas into the ice, and then I could go down and punch Norm Green in the face myself. It's a far-fetched hope, but it's what I was hoping for. Then to have to sit through that, it was one of the worst games I've ever been to. Never mind the worst, but certainly the worst hockey game. It was awful to watch. The crowd was miserable. The only saving grace for the Wild was that they gave up a second shorthanded goal 2 minutes from the end of the game, and then everybody left. So there were only 2,000 people left to boo them at the end of the game because everybody else was in the concourse just depressed and leaving the Excel Center. And usually you've got a few drunk rowdy guys that are leaving the Excel Center, especially early on a Sunday night. It was just quiet, very depressed. What the heck is wrong with this team?
No one's setting the tone?
Yes.
Someone's got to set the fucking tone, boys. Sorry.
Stu's going to do this all in Letterkenny quotes.
Pretty much. It's the fucking Apple Dorns, man.
Good, you're going. Did I hear this correctly? They gave up five power play goals?
Five power play goals and two shorthanded goals.
And that's not even and then two shorthanded. Seven special teams goals. So they have a new special teams coach. So the point I made was, if this were football and the Vikings had hired a new special teams coach, and then that special teams coach immediately gave up, the team gave up four punt return touchdowns,
two punt return touchdowns, and five
block kicks. Just in there.
Everybody in this town would know who that person's name. And
oh yeah,
that would be that'd be all we'd talk about. But in hockey, they hire a brand new special teams coach. It's obviously a disaster. And what's his name? Do you know his name?
John.
Russo hasn't brought it up. Like, you know what I mean? Nobody even talks about it. It's crazy.
And I mean, also, Kaprizov has been terrible. If this was any other team in town, there would be a daily column in both newspapers ripping him about how terrible he's been, how ever since they gave him the assistant captain, he's been terrible. He needs to pick it up. Nobody even notices. Like, there's sort of a vague awareness that Kaprizov is not having a good year. But it's mostly swamped by Josh Jobs and the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Yep. He's lucky.
All right. So who the heck is the new special teams guy?
I don't know. I just can't remember his name. Like if the Vikings gave up three punt return touchdowns and two kick return touchdowns, you wouldn't be like, well, KLC needs to be fired. I mean, you might, but that wouldn't be the primary topic. But that's all anybody talks about is Evason's got to be fired. And that's fair. It's a fair comment, but nobody talks about this new special teams coach and how much of a disaster their power play is, a disaster, and their penalty kill is the worst in the league. Like, I'm sorry, let me take a step back. Their penalty kill is not the worst in the league. Their penalty kill is the worst in NHL history
by 5 or 6%.
And back in the 30s, they had guys playing that worked, you know, at the Chrysler plant that didn't know a penalty kill from a deer kill.
Yeah.
And
you weren't allowed to pass the puck forwards.
And the Wild may beat their PK percentage.
It's
incredible. Maybe we need to be looking at, I mean, at this guy's strategy. I don't know. What do I know? Maybe we need to take a look.
It's funny that the two overriding narratives about the Wild this year are, number one, they're getting terrible goaltending. They're getting terrible goaltending. Their penalty kill is absurdly awful, and they start slow every night.
Mm-hmm.
57 seconds into the game, they'd already given up a power play goal. That's almost impossible. Just to take a penalty in the first minute.
That's the thing. It's
kind of hard.
You talk about the crowd when 19 seconds into the game, they take a stupid penalty, and the crowd knows exactly what's coming. 30 seconds later, there it is.
Then, oh, they got a terrible power play. What should we do? I don't know. Duhame's going to run around and board a guy and get a boarding major.
Well, and you know the Stars are going to be Luganus all over the fucking rink. Yeah.
They love it. DeBoer is just absolutely twisting the knife every time.
God, he's such a pilot. I hate him more than I hate Sean Payton.
Wow, that is tough to do. I'd say it's up there.
Make a movie about Pete DeBoer, fucking diving coach. Rodney Dangerfield.
Wasn't there already a Luke
Back to School too? Have him be a diving coach.
Is there a movie about all the kids who got pretend diving and squash scholarships? The Pete DeBoer story?
The Pete DeBoer story. Fucker.
I somehow knew that bringing up Pete DeBoer would get chicken going. I don't know. There's nothing they can do. That's the thing. They traded Kalen Addison and then got another 260-pound guy. So if they get into a way off, they're definitely.
Well, I think he just thought Reeves pumped some life into him last year, so why don't we try that again? I mean, I like the trade, actually. I don't have an issue with it. But it's, you know, a Band-Aid on a gaping, chest wound. Whatever.
I don't know.
I think the next 2 years are just going to be like this, John. I've been optimistic in the past. Kaprizov looked like he was injured. That was no shock that he's hurt. We watch him every other game. When he's healthy, his puck possession, he just circles around carrying the puck for half an hour in the offensive zone and then just cuts you open, just surgically cuts you open with a pass or a shot. And he can't do any of that stuff right now. So obviously something's wrong.
He can turn the puck over in his own zone.
Now he can,
stupidly.
He can't possess
real well.
He's definitely either hurt or something's going on in his head.
It is like he got so used to being able to just skate around everybody. When he can't do that, he literally has no idea what to do. Like, what do I do? Do I just throw the puck backwards? No, it seems like they got a 2-on-0 breakaway here. All right, let's try not to do that. What if I just throw it along the offensive blue line? No, that doesn't seem. They got a breakaway out of that too. Also doesn't seem to work.
I'm out of ideas, coach.
All right, guys, I don't know what to do. I've never had to press these buttons on the controller.
We've tried nothing, and we're all out of ideas.
Should I get the puck deep? No, we're not going to do that. Mm-mm. The other amazing thing was every time Dallas shot the puck towards Fleury made a lot of the initial saves. I think he still deserves some blame because a couple of the goals went into about the center of the net. But every time they shot the puck towards the net, it would hit Fleury, and then it would just sit there. It would just sit there until somebody from Dallas got a chance to slap it into the net or at least slap it at the goaltender, where the defenseman would just sort of stand there. It would go in and it wouldn't come out. There was no clearing the puck. There was no pushing other players around. It was just like, all right, maybe they'll shoot it wide. Let me know when the puck goes to the corner and then I'll chase it. But until then, I'm not doing anything. I don't know. Who's your least favorite Wild defenseman so far, Chicken?
Who is mine?
Yeah, your least favorite.
I have not been impressed by Dakota Mermis. I know Russo seems
Dakota Merman. The Dakota Merman. Sorry.
I think there was a lot of hope that he'd step up and be kind of this unsung hero. He's a life, you know, been in the minors for a while. It's his time. He can step up, and I just don't see it. He's made a few plays, but big picture and all things totaled, he's not doing very well. And you can't play him the minutes that they're playing him. You can't really play him at all. and he doesn't really bring anything else, right? Like, at least Addison struggled defensively, but occasionally he would bring something else to the table. Well, Mermis is not that. So I'd say him. Unfortunately, I just think that's he is who he is. It's not underachieving. He's just achieving. That's the player he is.
I'm going to give you a stat. Dakota Mermis has 2 even strength goals this year. Do you know who he's ahead of on the Minnesota Wild? Matt Boldy and Kirill Kaprizov. Yeah. Both of whom have 1 even strength goal this year. And Gaudreau, who's, I don't even know if he has a point this year. He's been hurt, but even so.
Yeah, it's about like the long-term IL, right?
Yeah.
He is, yeah. I don't know what that, how to say that in French.
Nor do I.
Long term. I don't know.
Marcus Johansson might as well not exist.
We'll get a basket of French bread and some cigarettes. He'll be fine.
Yeah, Johansson has struggled. They were hoping that line would get, you know, with Ek healthy, that might rekindle some of what they had last year. Just nothing.
I want you to get angry here. I need some anger out of you, Chicken. You seem resigned, and that's worse. That's making me really worried.
I was resigned to this before the season started. I don't know how you can.
No, that's not what I want to hear.
No, I don't know how you can eat that much salary. And I know everybody hates making an excuse. I don't know how you can and compete in a salary cap league. You just can't. Their prospects are coming, apparently. So I'm not going to pretend to, like, I'm some expert on Liam Ogren or anything, but apparently everybody loves them. These guys are just like 2 or 3 years away. It's just a bad time to be eating this much salary. You could get away with it if, like, Liam Ogren and all of these other guys were ready to come out, but they're not. They're a couple years away. So Brock Faber is up. Boldy is up. Kaprizov's here now. Obviously, he's not a young guy, but relatively new. But the rest of these prospects are all a couple years away. So it's just going to be like this for the next 2 years, I'm afraid. The only saving grace of what I was hoping for was that somehow Gustafson was lightning in a bottle, or, you know, that this was could be sustainable, and it wasn't.
Yeah,
he was lightning in the bottle. It's unsustainable, the streak he went through. They needed incredible goaltending to have the same kind of season, and they're not even getting mediocre goaltending.
So yeah, they're getting really, really bad goaltending.
They're in a lot of trouble.
Bottom of the league goaltending.
So the only way they come back is if Fleury and Gustafson just catch fire. That's the only way this ship is getting turned around, because there's no saviors coming yet down in Iowa. And you can't trade your way out of this. They're in too deep a hole to trade their way out of it. So the only way out is with some remarkable goaltending, and that can happen. It's the NHL, so that's happened before. It's happened before for the Wild. So
is it time? Are you ready to start the Jesper Wallstedt era?
Isn't he a Swedish minimalist painter?
Yes. He was.
He's got like an installation in Reykjavik. That's the Icelanders love him. But he's not really honored in his home country. It's kind of a weird subject, but sorry. I heard the name Jesper, and that's what
they're calling him, the Scandinavian Mondrian.
Wow.
Wait, what is Mondrian? Isn't Mondrian already Scandinavian? Where is he from?
I don't know. We're going to have to look at it. Well, then.
I don't know why that one got me, John. I don't know why. I think it's the way you said it that got me.
This is called John has to pull a painter out of his brain in improv format.
Mondrian.
And that's what he's Dutch. He's not Scandinavian. He's Dutch.
Wait. Dutch is... Is that the northernmost not Scandinavian country?
I think so.
Yes. Denmark is Scandinavia. Netherlands isn't.
That's bullshit. I think that's bullshit.
They're all depressed.
Hey, I don't make the rules. I don't make the country groupings.
I would have guessed Mondrian.
Fucking tulips. Ooh, fuck you.
All right. Well, never mind.
Get out of here with your clogs.
Scandinavian.
I don't even. No, I am fine. Bring Wallstedt up. But if you're going to expect this kid to see it, maybe he saves your season. But I don't know how you do that. What do you do? Are you cutting somebody? Did somebody get hurt? Right? You.
Well, they're having no troubles getting hurt right now. So
Gustafson and Fleury are getting paid a bunch of money, and they're not injured. So I don't know how you start the Wallstedt era without either of them going on the IR.
This is a lot of resigned sadness, and that's
I'm not even sad about it. I'm ready for 2026.
Oh man, that's so long from now.
Well,
Matt Boldy will only have 7 more years on his contract by then.
Correct me if I'm wrong. They're still like in some financial trouble because of the Suter and other guys.
That's what we're
talking. Lots and lots of financial trouble.
Lots for the next.
So I mean. They're almost done with that. That's been going on for 5 years.
Yeah.
So they're almost done with that. Think of it that way.
Ready for that to be done.
Oh. Just think of it that way. John, you only have like 10 more years of daycare left. It's fine. It's
so
fine.
Many more.
The time goes. It's
16 more years of preschool and I'll finally get both kids in the same school.
Oh, it'll be great for you.
Can't wait. I think about it every day. Anyway. All right. Well, that I wanted anger. I wanted rage out of Chicken with the Minnesota Wild, and he's just accepting. He's
it moved sure past, like they've beaten,
he's
they've
moved
just
past
guys
anger
down.
Into acceptance.
I'm resigned. What I think, and people have hinted around it, I think Evason getting fired is far more likely than people are. It's something. It's a talker. It's like a, you know, something people kick around. But I don't think anybody's taking it really seriously. I think it's far more likely than any. I think it was far more likely at the end of the playoffs last year. I think it was a lot closer than people talk about. They brought in a new coach for Evason. It was his guy. It's not working out. The biggest factor in my mind on why I think it could happen is, and I've talked about it on this podcast before, is Guerin is prone to making moves like that, right? That's
mm-hmm.
It's like he just does stuff like the Talbot trade, the Suter Parisi decisions were like that. It just kind of came out of the damn blue. So if Evason's fired before the Sweden trip is over, it wouldn't surprise me if he's left in Europe. Wouldn't surprise me.
They not only fire him, but they take his passport and they're like, find your own way back.
Find good your luck own way back. Flin flon.
Not a real place anyway.
Yeah,
that's yeah, your buddy just
prone to it's not hysterics. It's not what I don't even think it would be a knee-jerk reaction. It would just be it would be obviously very surprising, but with him, I mean, anything's possible.
3 times a year, Guerin is up there, like, cleaning blood off his hands, going, well, it's a business, and that's why I had to twist his head from his shoulders.
And more so than any professional sport, I think, the NHL is prone to a coach walking in the room, even a knucklehead, just an idiot, can walk in the room and change a franchise around for just one, even if it's just 1 year. And then it wears off and the next season it's gone. But coaching changes in the NFL or in the NHL can turn around a season more so than any other sport, in my opinion.
Does Guerin have a guy like a Pittsburgh guy or something?
Yes. Doug Waite is who everybody talks about, his buddy Doug Waite, who hasn't done a lot of coaching, but that's like his best friend. And everybody talks about that's the guy that they could see him bringing in.
Didn't stop Edmonton from hiring what's his name, who coached for 3 years or whatever. So,
yeah, Woodcroft,
is that the new guy or the guy they fired?
That's the guy they fired. The new guy is from some WHL team or EHL, ECHL.
All right,
Will shit hockey,
the no show,
senior.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
All right. Well, that's depressing. So the Vikings, good. The Wild, depressing. The Timberwolves, Stu, where are you at on our old 6 to midnight scale?
Oh, midnight. And that's still nowhere near Broxy. No, Broxy's at 3.
Broxy is like pushing the bounds of the scale.
1350. I mean, this is actually, while you guys were talking about senior whale shit hockey, I looked up how they were doing tonight. They have a back-to-back with a day in between at Golden State. So far, there's been a brawl. And
really?
Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, and Jaden McDaniel all got thrown out.
And against the Draymond Green team, there was a brawl? I don't believe this for a second.
Draymond Green had Rudy Gobert in the sleeper hold. The old crusher, the Vern Gagne sleeper hold. It's already there. It's already all over.
Going full Rowdy Roddy Piper. Oh, great. This is great.
Yeah, and this is an important game because they also don't have Steph Curry tonight. And the Timberwolves, for those listening who somehow don't know this, the Timberwolves are playing out of their minds good right now. But this is also against a weaker Golden State team than they beat Sunday night. And your typical Timberwolves team will just eat shit and just lose by 15 to a clearly undermanned team that just outplays them. Currently, they're tied. It's like 43-43 in the second quarter. So that's,
that's pretty good.
It's relatively good. Yeah. So we'll see how that goes. But they're playing fantastic. They have the number one defense in the entire league, which that's never happened. I think Musselman probably did in his third year out of spite. They had a really good defense. They won every game 7-70. Just.
They average giving up 79 points a game and scoring 42.
Yeah, just the worst brand of basketball, the most aesthetically displeasing brand of basketball. It was basically the dump and chase of basketball.
And that's from two guys that have watched nothing but Big Ten basketball their entire life.
Correct. Gotcha. Just the awful basketball. So, yeah, that's been fun. And I think everyone's just kind of waiting to see if this is sustainable or not. And I don't know enough. I mean, there's some head shaking in the group chat here, and I'll need to see a lot more. But it's been
like watching my cousin Jeff, who's addicted to drugs, and he bought a jet ski. Like, you guys are so excited. I'm so scared for you. Why'd you buy?
Oh, yeah, Timberwolves Twitter is just, oh my goodness.
You guys are so happy and so excited, and I'm just like, oh no. This is not going to end well.
Yeah, it's hard to say. It's so fun and it's just so foreign because they're just playing great. They're beating great teams handily, and it's
good.
They have one of the best players in the league. It's Rudy Gobert is playing really good. It's so weird. I can't explain it.
I just watched the video of the of the headlock.
Yeah, it's so funny.
I just saw it. What I'm wondering, Stu, is
I'm watching it right now.
How many people have made the look at the French guy, put his hands up and surrender?
Yep. Oh, immediately.
Everybody, yeah, that's the first thing that came to mind was this is the most French thing I've ever seen. They got him holding the French flag. Oh no!
Oh my God!
That Timberwolves Brazil account. They got to do something like that.
They really have to do something. I don't know what that's one of the joys of my life right now.
Oh my God! I don't give a shit about Timberwolves basketball, and it's the greatest thing I've ever.
They're just so awesome.
It's so good.
It's just a dude in Brazil who likes the Timberwolves. It's not
him. And what are you ripping him for? And he's like, I'm just a guy in Brazil who likes Timberwolves. Like, don't read into it any more than this. Is just some guy.
He's just some guy who's got like a good Photoshop handle.
And he's super creative and super funny, and he gets it.
Yep. So yeah, it'll probably end badly. It always ends badly for the Timberwolves, but it's fun right now. I think that's the best way to put it. Broxy could go for 45 fucking minutes on this, but he's not here tonight. So sorry, Brox.
The look on Rudy's face as Draymond has him in the sleeper hold is one of the joys.
And just like, and I saw a couple like national accounts, like, I cannot pick a guy I want in this fight to win because everyone hates Draymond and everyone hates Rudy. It's.
We love Rudy now. Everybody loves Rudy. Fans are chanting
he's
his name.
Defense.
He's amazing. He actually is moving his feet side to side this year.
But I mean, also, this is what he did in Utah during the regular season, and then he'd get to the postseason and just collapse. So that's been.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Utah didn't have 17 more centers behind him. The Timberwolves do. They've got exceptional center depth.
The least important position in the modern NBA. You know,
that's
that
right.
One.
It's Rick building his offense around a running back.
Exactly.
2019.
So anyway, that's how the Timberwolves are doing, John. How about your football team, John? How about your Gopher football team?
I just want to say
cover that before we head out.
No, I don't. I'm done. I'm done with Gopher football. Gopher football's over anyway. This was the last year of college football. Next year, it's going to be finishing ninth is going to be a good accomplishment for Gopher football from here on out. They're in an 18-team conference, which is ridiculous. They won't play most of these teams every 5 years. What are they going to play every 5 years, most of these teams? They're not in the same conference as Rutgers. They're not in the same conference as UCLA. They are, but they aren't. You know what I mean? It makes no sense. This is what it is now. If the Gophers finish ninth, we're going to have to go, well, that's a pretty good year. They finished in the top half of the Big Ten. They're not in the same conference as Michigan. They already aren't in the same conference as Michigan, as Ohio State. They're going to play these teams sometimes, but it might as well be a non-conference game. Who gives a crap? That's what I have to say about Gopher football. That all happens next year. I was looking at this year. Maybe they could do something this year. And to screw it up in the horrible way they have, I couldn't believe the number of people after they beat Iowa were just like chalking up wins going down. Well, they'll definitely beat Michigan State and Purdue, and they'll definitely beat Illinois because all those teams are bad. Have you not watched any Gopher football ever? And it's exactly what happened. They won. They beat Michigan State. Then they lost a coin flip against Illinois and gave up 6,000 yards to Purdue, which had gained 12 yards the previous 4 weeks combined. It's awful.
Having watched the Northwestern game, the second half of the Northwestern game, I was like, "Oh yeah, this is going to be a special year for the people who have invested time and money in the Gopher football program."
And don't get me wrong, the Big Ten West is utter garbage. It's worse than the AL Central. It's worse.
A modicum of effort would have won that. They could have easily been in the Big Ten championship game. Easily,
it's just they never will have. Never ever will they have a chance to win anything conference wide again. They had some chance when there were 10 teams or even 11 teams in the Big Ten. It could happen. 6-2 teams won the Big Ten. We're talking about the Mason years when they never were 6-2 in the conference. They were only 5-3 a couple of times, but there you could imagine it happening. It happened for Northwestern. It happened for random teams all the time that they won the Big Ten. Then it became a 53-team conference, and all right, well, at least they're in the Big Ten West, which is garbage. After they got rid of the legends and leaders nonsense, they're in the Big Ten West, which is garbage. Nebraska is nothing like it used to be. Iowa is anti-football. Iowa is the Wisconsin basketball of college football. And Wisconsin was good some years, not good some other years. So the last few years, you could at least look at it and go, well, they've got a chance to get absolutely housed in the title game. Whatever. At least they'll have been in the Big Ten championship game. That's the closest they can get. Now it's not even a thing. It's just I don't know what to do with Gopher football. I've loved Gopher football my entire life. I have Gopher football memories going past my Vikings football memories. my Gopher football memories are earlier than that. And I don't see why I should give a crap anymore. Remember when I said I had nothing to say about Gopher football? I have a lot to say about Gopher football.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah.
Why should I care? That's my question.
I can't tell you to care.
I don't know. This is stupid. It's a stupid really sport. I'm still just angry. And, you know, as it turns out, it's my own fault for not paying players enough. And that's what's making us AAA team be a
I saw that. That wasn't great.
I mean, he's not wrong. They're going to be a AAA team. Western Michigan is AA. Minnesota's AAA. And then whoever Minnesota's players all transfer to is the big leagues. That's the, you know, that's the way it works in other sports. College football is European soccer. So they're going to be one of the mid-standings teams. They finish in the middle. If they have any good players, they'll lose them to an actual school that has a chance to play for a national championship. That's the way this is. This is stupid. They've taken everything that everybody liked about college football and ruined it for TV money. And I hope they choke. That was pretty angry, guys. I don't know who said all those things.
I'm glad Dave wasn't here, because Dave would have been about 20% meaner.
Imagine how often we'd have had to bleep Dave if he had been here.
Why, he has never bleeped anything before. We had to this time.
There's so many bleeps now.
Apple called us and said, you can't put this online.
It's like,
you can't upload this.
The only things we've ever bleeped before are the times when Chicken accidentally says his own social security number or whatever. Other than that, imagine the bleeps we would have had to do if somehow David had an even angrier rant than the one that just came flowing out of me. So anyway, that's what I have to say about Gopher football. But I think you have a top six for us, too.
I do. This is a fun one. I'm happy with
They're all fun ones.
But this one is a special one for tonight. These are the top six 80s and 90s country singers that make Chicken Fingers 69 smile.
All right. I'm gonna be stone faced, and we'll see if this is true or not.
Okay. Here's the others receiving votes from this one. And these aren't gonna be like the Garth Brooks. Like, these are a little more off the beaten path. You had to love them a little more. You had to listen to some really, really bad country radio in the 80s.
I just want to say, Chicken's supposed to be stone-faced, but just thinking about it, he's already kind of grinning to himself. I'm going to try to give you, the listener, sort of a ranking of how a 1 to 5 stars of how much Chicken is laughing at each one of these.
About my childhood dog dying.
We have 5 artists in the other receiving votes category. Jim Ed Brown.
Already openly giggling, and we're in the
this will not be the first 3 name male country artist, for the record. Kathy Mattea.
Oh, 18 Wheels and a Dozen Roses. Yeah. I'd never liked Kathy Mattea ever. So I'm not smiling. I don't like her.
Terry Gibbs. She was blind.
One of the Bee Gees?
No, that was the early 80s. Also, not the first blind artist we'll be talking about.
Oh, I got a few. I can think of a few. I wonder if we're okay.
Vern Gosden.
Oh, the voice.
Vern Gosden,
the voice.
Yep. And the final others receiving votes, Lori Morgan. Lori Morgan.
Married. Some say she killed Keith Whitley. I am not in that camp.
I believe also romantically attached to Troy Aikman.
She was at one point.
What?
The 90s were amazing, John. You should have been around for it.
Yeah.
All right. Number 6.
Wait, would that mean Lori Morgan was Swizzle before Swizzle was Swizzle?
I believe so. Yes.
Is she the original Taylor
Swift? The original T Swift?
Country music.
The real country heads. Yeah, that might make her that way.
Oh, I've never thought of that. Thank you.
I'll tell you one thing. Chicken remembers this and Stu remembers this, but Troy Aikman doesn't remember anything about this.
No, he doesn't. Can you imagine him trying to find his car in a parking lot? This has got to be a journey.
Here's my dad at the Met Center. After a North Stars Blackhawks game.
What the fuck? Goddamn. Okay, number six. Ronnie Millsap.
Oh, the other blind one.
Yeah, there's your blind man.
Now he's the center for the Utah Jazz.
Yes, he is. Great. Very talented.
That was just a knowing smile, listeners. That wasn't that. It was just sort of a knowing grin.
I my wife really likes Ronnie Millsap. I'm tepid.
Tepid on Millsap.
Number five. Joe Diffie.
Oh, Joe Diffie. You didn't happen. I guarantee you didn't watch the CMA Awards the other night. I did not.
That is what brought this to mind, though, that I would do this one.
They did the Joe Diffie tribute song.
Oh, they did John Deere Green, I bet.
It was a medley. That was one of them. Oh, they closed with Pickup Man.
I knew I'd heard of Joe Diffie.
The three singers that did the performance were somebody named Hardy. I'm guessing you don't know who Hardy is. He's more of a songwriter. He's got a few songs, but he's mostly a songwriter, behind the scenes guy. Morgan Wallen and Post Malone.
Post Malone.
Yes, did.
From the Post Malone genre of music.
From Post Malone, the Post Malone of the Post Malone.
That is a revelation to me,
Jack. And it's now on the radio. His Post Malone's version of that song, Pickup Man, is now a single on modern country radios. Anyways.
I am surprised. Also, John, this is for you. Joe Diffie, his song John Deere Green. The guy who wrote that also wrote Burnin' Love and Goodbye Earl. The same guy wrote three of those songs. Dennis Lindy is his name. So anyway.
I just want to say that you guys know that I'm not the biggest country head.
I figure you've heard of Elvis and you've heard of the Dixie Chicks. So.
I did grow up in small town Minnesota in the 1990s, so I can sing pretty much all of John Deere Green if you want.
Yeah. So, anyway, same guy wrote all those things. That's one of those fun.
I did not know
that's
that.
That's amazing.
Huh.
Number four, I'm not going to guarantee a smile, but the lips are going to curl up if I had to guess. Lacey J. Dalton. There it is. Oh, yes.
Open laughter. Five out of five.
Oh, no. Lacey J. I think of the producer, the record label guy. What's your middle initial? Lacey Dalton. That ain't enough. What's your middle initial?
J.
C. No, not anymore. J. Lacey J. Dalton. Perfect. Oh,
perfect. Number three, highest ranking woman on this list. Janie Fricke. Janie Fricke, everybody. Oh.
The label didn't care about her name. Whatever. Janie Fricke? Really? That's your name? Janie Fricke.
You're sticking with that one? You wanna go with that?
Okie dokie.
Okay. All right.
Number two. Earl Thomas Conley.
Yes, that's yeah.
Yep. Oh, all you gotta say is yep sometimes.
And he played safety for the Seahawks.
That's not true, John.
And he's on Walking Dead.
Yeah. And please respect the top six, John.
Sorry.
No, it's okay. Number one, Ricky Van Shelton. Ricky Van Shelton, number one.
That is so Ricky Van Shelton would be a testament to country music before before videos were a really big thing, because he is and was not an attractive man and was still extremely successful in country music.
Oh yeah.
Country music videos been bigger at his time, I don't think he ever would have had the success, because people would have seen, they would have gone, no.
Yeah. There's,
we're not doing that.
I mean, you can be like, I mean, Garth ain't, you know, like,
no,
anything, but he's just like a normal looking,
and he brought the charisma and other things. Ricky Van Shelton didn't bring anything else to the table. He's not a remarkable singer. Mm-hmm. He's not an instrumentalist. You know, like Ricky Skaggs, shared name.
Yeah, Skaggs, he was too popular to get on this.
No, too popular. But I guess my point is brought instrument. He wasn't attractive either, but he was a pretty amazing musician.
Yeah,
Ricky Van Shelton brought. He wasn't attractive. Wasn't a great singer. Wasn't really much of a songwriter.
Ricky Van Shelton looks like Jim Varney and Ron White had a baby.
Just a replacement level country guy.
That's it. Yeah.
In the late 80s, that's all you needed to be, really. That was right before Garth changed everything. Garth and Shania changed everything. So,
Jake Van Cave.
Mm-hmm. Ricky Van Shelton.
Why is he taking the last at bat for the Phillies this year? I don't know.
That's right.
Van Shelton looks a little like Quentin Tarantino.
Yeah, hey, with a cowboy hat on and like a brown shirt. And he's not a fall. He's not an autumn. Who's dressed him?
Well, that's the show title. I'm telling you that right now.
Yeah, I don't know.
that's tremendous. Yep. Anyway, that's my list for the week, guys.
Or the great month, list. Whatever. Thank you.
I'm glad that actually there was proof of concept for that. I'm glad that
I made my week. Thank you.
No problem.
Once again, we proved that this podcast, why don't they make the whole podcast out of top six? That's my question.
You know, there's a lot of podcasts that name guys. I just like to name guys that other podcasts don't name. And I don't think we've named. There's not a lot of podcasts naming mid-80s country guys who had a little heat. Not John Anderson popular, but a little more.
Too popular. Not too far underground, but bubbling just right at the surface.
Yeah, not Towns Van Zandt. Not like real hipster country, but like a little above that.
Yeah.
Gopher baseball coach Johnny Anderson?
No, different.
That, was he a country singer?
Might have been, but different
Johnny Anderson.
Then there were
a big hit. Okay, John, you're from Ordinville, correct?
I am.
The song Swingin'. Have you heard the song Swingin'?
Probably. By Johnny.
Okay.
Probably. He's heard it. There's no way he's never heard it.
Yeah, there's no way. He's been to so many wedding dances out state.
Wedding dance. You'd be at a small town baseball game that's going to be in between innings.
Yeah, sure.
This is like. Remember the one Super Bowl that the Who was the halftime show? One of my buddies was like, "Who's the Who? I've never heard of the Who." And we were like, "Listen, I guarantee you've heard every one of the songs they're going to play." And every one of them was like, "Yeah, I love this song."
Oh, no.
He just watched one episode of CSI. He knows all of it.
All right. Well, that'll do it. We miss Brandon.
Mm-hmm.
Brandon's got much more annoying questions than I do. I just want to rant about stuff. I can't get any anger out of Chicken, so I'm just going to yell about Gopher football.
But Brandon can. That's his gift.
At least we end with the. At least we ended with a top six, and at least we did a podcast.
I'm strong. Thank you, boys.
All right.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.